Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suite on Money FM 89.3. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Celeste Chua, Associates Consultant from Sengkang General Hospital, about hearing loss in Singapore and the condition's relationship with cognitive decline. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Clarissa, for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. Okay, right at the beginning, before we do anything else, what is cognitive decline?
So when we talk about cognitive function, it's the ability of the mind to process, learn, memory, executive function,
understanding.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a term for many, many functions that the brain actually has in terms of our daily living, in terms of our ability to plan and to execute tasks, etc.
Okay, yeah. For some inexplicable reason, I never would have thought hearing loss had a relationship with cognitive decline. I'm trying to put the two together. What is the connection?
Okay, so the thing is that we know that as we age, aging is related to hearing loss and cognitive impairment. We know that as you get older, more patients actually have hearing problems, and the elderly are actually more inclined to have problems with memory and cognitive functioning.
Okay.
But it was only in recent years that there appears to be suggestion of an independent relationship between hearing loss and cognitive function.
Okay.
So at this point in time, we're not sure if it's because both conditions, hearing loss and cognitive function, have a common pathway, or whether hearing loss actually affects cognitive function itself. So there are certain postulations about how this can occur. One is that the mind actually has a certain fixed resource to deal with cognitive function. And as you age, you actually have less reserves. When you have hearing loss, you find that the brain actually needs to recruit other areas not usually involved in hearing to kind of make sense of the altered hearing signals.
Except that if you're talking about aging, then those other resources will also be declining, deteriorating.
Right. Deteriorating, correct. And the other thing is, we know that for patients with hearing loss, there is a functional change, meaning that parts of the brain actually shrink or atrophy. And we do know that brain structure does affect brain function. So that's another way that it can be associated. Thirdly, there is the postulation of social isolation when someone has hearing loss, because people tend to withdraw, be a bit less confident, and this can actually affect both their physical as well as their mental and emotional well-being. So these are the ways in which hearing loss may be associated with cognitive functioning. We are not sure at this point in time if the use of hearing aids to improve hearing will be able to reverse this cognitive decline, but there is some suggestion that it may delay the onset of cognitive decline.
That's fascinating. I mean, that really is, because, like I said, I wouldn't have thought that hearing loss would have a direct connection with cognitive decline. And although you're saying there's it's postulation right now, so you could be proven wrong. The research could kick up some other information,
that's right,
some other connection. But it's fascinating to see how they're interrelated.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk about how prevalent hearing loss is here in Singapore.
Okay, so let's say if we were to look at worldwide, data from the World Health Organization puts about more than 5% of the world population as suffering from disabling hearing loss. That would be about...
More than 5%?
More than 5%.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. So if you're talking about numbers, we have about 466 million people worldwide, of which 34 million are children, and 432 million are adults.
Right.
However, you'll find that about one-third of people aged 65 and above will suffer from disabling hearing loss. And the concern is that it is estimated that by 2050, more than 900 million of the world population, which would put one out of every 10 persons in the world, would actually have disabling hearing loss. So that's worldwide. But if you're talking about our local Singapore context, 6 out of 1,000 babies born in Singapore have hearing loss, of which 1 out of 1,000 have severe to profound hearing loss.
Okay.
based on prevalence estimates, about 1 out of 11 people in Singapore have hearing loss.
Of all ages?
Of all ages.
Okay.
And based on a recent population study, we had about 63% of senior adults having hearing loss and about 16% of them having disabling hearing loss.
Okay.
The concern, though, is that this number is expected to double by 2030. And you know that Singapore is only the second fastest aging population in Asia, mm-hmm. behind Japan.
Right.
So it is a growing concern.
Let me have a second to absorb all of that information and how it might relate to me. We are speaking to Dr. Celeste Chua, Associate Consultant from Sengkang General Hospital, about hearing loss in Singapore and how the condition is related with cognitive decline. Those are startling numbers. They are disturbing numbers, yeah. because, yes, I am a member of this aging population you speak of. In a few years, I will enter that point in time when I become part of a statistic. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to understand, what is the difference between hearing loss and disabling hearing loss? Is there a point where it becomes more serious?
Okay. So when we actually talk about hearing loss, basically it can be divided into mild, mm-hmm. moderate, severe, or profound.
Right.
Patients with profound hearing loss are what we commonly term in social context as deaf, mm-hmm. because they hardly are able to hear anything.
Okay.
Okay, for patients with moderate hearing loss, mm-hmm. they would have the ability to hear in quiet, but in noisy environments, they may find it challenging. So it is patients with moderate hearing loss and above that we term as disabling hearing loss.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the whole concept of hearing aids is not new.
Mm.
I remember from way back when I was in primary school, I had teachers who wore hearing aids. My mother-in-law wears a hearing aid. How has that changed and improved someone's hearing loss? At which point does it not help anymore?
Okay. So I would say that with regards to hearing loss, mm-hmm. besides the severity of hearing loss, we also look at it in terms of the nature of the hearing loss.
Okay.
So when we hear, sound from the external environment is channeled into our ear canal, mm-hmm. and it hits the eardrum.
Right.
When it hits the eardrum, this vibration and mechanical energy is actually transmitted along what we call an ossicular chain,
mm-hmm.
which are three little bones in the ear. And via the ossicular chain, the sound then passes into the inner ear. In the inner ear, we have what we call hair cells.
Mm-hmm.
And these will then transmit mechanical energy to an electrical energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that electrical energy travels through the hearing nerve to your brain via the auditory pathway.
Right.
So that is how we actually perceive hearing naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when there is a problem along the conductive mechanism, which right. may be an external ear malformation,
sure.
narrowing of the ear canal or earwax, a hole in the eardrum,
mm-hmm.
or some form of ossicular erosion from disease or chronic infections,
mm-hmm.
those will result in a conductive hearing loss. Those conditions are frequently amenable to surgery,
mm-hmm.
all right? But they can also be treated with hearing aids.
Okay.
For conditions that damage the inner ear cells, which would be like the cochlea and your hearing nerve,
mm-hmm.
those conditions are not well treated with surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, we find that you actually need hearing aids for those. But beyond a certain degree of damage, hearing aids may not be able to help. That would be when the patient is unable to derive meaningful speech recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are unable to communicate meaningfully with your family members, with your friends. Then an option would be something like a cochlear implant.
Right.
Yeah, where we actually stimulate hearing in a non-physiological way,
mm-hmm.
meaning that instead of converting mechanical energy to electrical energy at the level of the hair cells, we bypass it and via an implantable electrode, deliver electrical energy directly to the hearing nerve. So it's another form of hearing. The way that the patient perceives the hearing is a bit different. It's like sound from a piano versus sound from a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different.
Sure.
So after the cochlear implant, they actually need to relearn a bit of hearing. Yeah, but it will be much better than a hearing aid.
One of the statistics that you gave us was babies who are born with damage to their hearing.
Yes.
Would a surgery like this give them back enough hearing to lead normal lives as they grow?
Yes. So the same way, a cochlear implant will actually require some form of surgery.
Sure.
And depending on the degree of the hearing loss, not all patients need a cochlear implant.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a milder form of hearing loss, we would prefer to augment the hearing by a hearing aid because it restores natural hearing without the risk of any surgical procedure.
Sure.
For patients like babies with profound hearing loss, currently there are government subsidies to subsidize the cost of cochlear implants.
Right.
And we usually will implant bilateral, both sides at mm-hmm. the same time.
Right.
If the patient has bilateral hearing, profound hearing loss.
Okay, we're speaking to Dr. Celeste Chua, Associates Consultant from Sengkang General Hospital, about hearing loss here in Singapore and the connection between hearing loss and cognitive decline. Now, we go back to that. Again, with our aging population, the deterioration of our sight, our hearing, our mental capacity is kind of something that we all assume happens to every one of us as we age.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you said that was very interesting to me that I picked up on and I was going to ask you about again, you said there is a possibility that if we correct the hearing loss, that we can slow down, not necessarily stop, but slow down that cognitive decline.
Yes.
So would you recommend a person above 65 who has hearing loss to go and get that hearing aid, to do everything they can to hold on to the hearing that they can have for as long as possible?
I would actually recommend that regardless of age mm-hmm. at which a person is diagnosed with hearing loss,
okay.
that they should augment that hearing loss.
Okay.
The reason being that it's not just the sound that gets to the hearing nerve,
mm-hmm.
but from the hearing nerve, there are central processes to the brain.
Right.
And when we are able to improve the sound that's being delivered, you know, we're actually able to keep that auditory pathway more active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would actually recommend that patients who are diagnosed with hearing loss be open to the utilization of the technology we have available in improving their hearing.
Okay, let's talk about that technology for a while. I go back to what I said about being in primary school and my teacher had a hearing aid. Back then, they were ugly, they were obvious, they were huge. I'm sure that they were embarrassing to someone who had to wear them.
Yeah.
But I've seen the new hearing aids because my mother-in-law has one. They're tiny.
Yeah.
You can barely perceive them. If you're looking at someone, if you're not looking for it, it's very easy to not notice them.
You wouldn't know if it's a Bluetooth device they're wearing.
Exactly. You would not know. So now, even if you are vain and you don't want people to know that you suffer from hearing loss, you don't have the excuse anymore because they won't know unless you point it out to them. Some of these hearing aids are really very, very small.
Yes. So I would say that with just like technology has improved various aspects of our lives,
sure.
there have been market improvements in the hearing aid technology.
Okay.
So one thing is size. Some hearing aids are completely in the ear canal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no obvious external component. And you find that hearing aids are getting tinier and tinier.
Mm-hmm.
However, depending on the degree of your hearing loss, you may need a certain size of mm-hmm. a speech processor in order to give you that power that you need to restore that hearing. The other thing that we need to be aware of is previously in the past, they used analog hearing aids, whereas now it has been converted to digital hearing aids.
Right.
So you find that with regards to programming, software, there are much more options available to the audiologist to program so that your hearing aid is able to optimize your hearing and you can wear it comfortably. Yeah.
Okay, so before I let you go, how early should they have their ears or their hearing check? How regularly should we check our hearing? And when should we start thinking about checking our hearing?
Okay, so currently there is a nationwide screening program known as the Project Silver Screen,
mm-hmm.
which is going around and open to Singaporeans aged 60 years and above, where they screen your eyesight
mm-hmm.
as well as your hearing, and they do a dental clearance for you as well. And if they find that there is any concern for hearing loss, they will refer you on to an ENT department for formal hearing assessment.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to this, for children, I would say that it's important that parents watch out for their speech and language and social development.
Right.
If a child is lagging in their language skills, it is important that you bring them to see a medical practitioner to check their ears, and if needful, to refer them on for further assessment.
Right.
For adults, it's important that if you find you're having difficulty hearing in noise, having to ask people to repeat, just come in for a hearing assessment would be better. You can go to a private practitioner, a GP, or a family physician, a polyclinic, to have a routine check first to make sure it's not something easily correctable, like some form of earwax or ear infection that needs to be treated.
Right.
Okay, but if they feel it's needful, they will send you to us. One thing I would like to highlight is the use of personal audio devices in the young, because prevention is
better. You mean
better.
Headphones.
Headphones, earphones.
Right.
Yeah. Prevention is better than cure.
Sure.
Yeah. Because the damage to the inner ear is usually irreversible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it would be something that we would like to remind our young listeners out there to take care of.
Our young listeners and their parents who might be listening. I understand this exactly. It is the generation of headphones and earpieces and what have you. And it's a argument I've had with my children many times. But I think it's an important conversation to have with your children.
True.
Thank you so much, Dr. Celestua, for coming in and speaking to us about hearing loss and the relationship with cognitive decline. Dr. Chua is Associate Consultant from Sengkang General Hospital. This has been Health Suite on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.